If you did not get one last night, keep your hand out while my very good pastor, Mike Thomas, distributes these handouts to you, okay? Okay, one of the verses in the Bible that talks about the eyes of the Lord is found in 2 Chronicles 16 and verse 9. And it says, how many got your Bible? Let's see your Bible this morning. You'll have to bring your Bible to the... Okay, let's turn to 2 Chronicles 16 and 9. Now, every one of our sessions, we're going to be talking about the eyes of the Lord. The eyes of the Lord are in all places, beholding what? The evil and the good. Good and the evil. Okay, so now over this side, Mike. Okay. Another verse that talks about the eyes of the Lord is 2 Chronicles 16 and 9. And this is the way it reads. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is hollow or perfect toward him. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth trying to find a man, a woman, a guy or a gal whose heart is perfect, whose heart is loyal to him. Why was David, in spite of all of his failure and even his sin, why was David chosen to be God's man? Anybody remember? Who can tell us? Because he had a heart after who? God, right? He had a heart after God. You know, if we are out here in the open air this morning, we can really think that the eyes of the Lord, the Lord is looking down upon us here at the park this morning, and he's looking for somebody among you whose heart will be holy for him. Not to have a divided heart, you know, one foot in the world, one foot in the church. Not to have a divided loyalty, one hand in the world, one hand in the Lord. But to have a heart who is loyal and perfect to him. I hope you'll find that in you during this weekend if you haven't found it yet. I'm going to be talking about the Lord Jesus again this morning. I'm going to read a couple of verses from Luke chapter 2. So if you're putting your Bible from Luke chapter 2, on the second page of this handout, we're going to talk about the child Jesus this morning. How many have time to think about those questions that we asked last night? Raise your hand. And over the raised hand again. Okay. You know it? I'm going to answer. Who has influenced your childhood life? Got an answer for that? Anybody in particular? Anybody? Okay, your parents are probably the most closest people to you that influenced your childhood life. How have they influenced you? And who has influenced your spiritual life? And how do you influence your children in the Lord? Now, think about those questions, because we're going to have our seminar this afternoon, and those of you who will be in my seminar will be talking about, thinking about some of those questions together, okay? This morning, let's look at Luke chapter 2 and verse 39 and 40. Last night we talked about the Lord Jesus Christ was taken as a child to the city of Jerusalem, and there he was presented to the Lord. When he was 8 days old, he was circumcised, a baby, he was given his name, officially, Jesus. And what does Jesus mean? Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall what? Save his people from their sins. Jesus means Jehovah, the Savior, doesn't he? He shall save his people from their sins. Many of you remember as they were in the temple, Simeon came up and blessed the Lord, Anna blessed the Lord, and then it says in verse 49 of chapter 2, so when they had performed all things, they returned to Galilee, to their own city, Nazareth. the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him.
We talked about those three things this morning.
The child grew and became what? Strong.
Some of our Bible say strong in spirit
and filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. The child grew.
Well, we've all grown up in the last 16 or 17 years from the little babies we were when we were born. And how have we grown? And what have we learned in the last 16 or 17 years of our life? Let's talk about the Lord Jesus Christ a little bit this morning.
And he as a child grew. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 3, we're told a little bit about food. And you know, this verse says strong in spirit, but it really refers to the Lord Jesus Christ's physical growth. And the Lord is concerned about our physical growth. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 3 it says, talking about food, some people, the Bible says certain food, which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving. According to this verse, what kind of food should we be eating? Physical food. What kind of food should we be eating?
Turkey.
Okay. Generally speaking, though, what kind of food should we be eating? Pardon? Anything good. Well, what is something good? What do we mean by being good? Anything God created. Did God create a diet of Pepsi? You know, it's really true that what we are what we eat. And the reason all you people are so healthy and beautiful this morning is because you are eating good food, right? Yeah. Okay. You know the computer language says garbage in? What? Garbage out. We are what we eat. And in a physical sense, we really should be eating food that God has created. Let's watch the chemical food, sis. Let's watch the artificial sweeteners. Because whether you believe it or accept it or not, lots of those foods are producing cancer and other problems in people today that could very well be avoided. The old saying was, an apple a day what? Keeps the nurse away, right? That's why the guys don't eat apples. But an apple a day does keep the doctor away, you know? And doctors are expensive, believe me. And if you fill your body with chemical food, you will reap what you sow. Because garbage in, garbage out. Let's eat the food that God has created. Can you imagine the Virgin Mary and Joseph putting on the table a six-pack of Diet Pepsi for the Lord Jesus to drink? Hey, you know, the Lord Jesus ate food that God, that he himself has created, made. Let's get back to the basics, even in our physical life. And let's eat the food that God has created and not the junk that man is trying to sell us and put over to us. But that's just a physical illustration of the kind of spiritual food we should be eating, right? Let's go over to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. We'll talk about two kinds of food that we should be eating spiritually. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. Oh, we'll read from verse 1, okay? Therefore, laying aside all malice and all guile, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire what? What should we be desiring as a newborn babe? The sincere, the pure milk of the Word of God, that we may grow thereby. How many of you have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ in 1984? Raise your hand. You came to know Jesus Christ this year. Say, Peter? Okay, Attila? Anybody else? Oh, come on, that's somebody else. Any two babies here this morning? Right here, okay, what's your name? Buddy? Okay, three, anybody else? Come to know the Lord this year? Okay, what's your name? Cunningham. Good. Okay. Anybody else? You came to know the Lord this year. Alright. This year we have four newborn babes here. Okay? And as a newborn babe, you have the desire the sincere met of the Word of God. You know, there's no more beautiful sight than to see a young mother nursing her first child. Boy, that is really a beautiful sight. And you know, you don't have to teach that baby where that milk is, right? That baby instinctively knows where to look for that milk. And it's the pure milk of the Word of God that we want to look for. You know, these girls, in a couple of years, in a few years, some of you are going to be mothers. And you know, the kids that have put an artificial food and a cigarette and an alcohol, when they take that newborn baby into their arms and put it to their breast, is really not giving that kid a good start in life. A mother who smokes communicates 15% of the nicotine that she takes in by cigarettes to that baby. And an alcoholic mother communicates a certain percent of the alcohol that she's drinking to her newborn baby. And that baby is prone to alcohol from the time he or she is at its most stressed. Isn't that terrible? You know, as Christians, when we're born by the Spirit of God, we have an instinctive desire to take the milk of the Word of God. That's one of the first things we should be taking. To grow spiritually is the Word of God. Pure milk of the Word of God. Look at another verse that talks about our spiritual food over in Hebrews. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 5 and read from verse 12. Now, how many of us have known the Lord for 5 years? Raise your hand. Okay, keep them up now. 10 years. Will you keep your hand up? Okay, we've got some 5 and 10-year-olds here. All right, now let's look at what the Word of God says to us. Well, if we've known the Lord for a long time, we're off the battle, right? You know when the baby starts to break and pee? You don't keep it up the breast very long, right? You get it off the breast and off the bottle and onto some solid food. And that's why the Lord gave us teeth. To eventually get our teeth into some good steak, right? Into some good, solid food. Now, what does Paul say to the Hebrews? Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. Though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the ABC, the first principles of the Word of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is of age. But solid food belongs to those who are full age, that is, to those who by reason of use of their special exercise to discern what? Both good and evil. We live in an evil world. You know, the only thing that's going to make us able to discern what is good and evil about what our teachers tell us, what is good or evil about what we see on television, what is good or evil if in the magazine or in the music, the only thing that's going to help us to discern what is good and evil is what? Is what? The Word of God. And when it talks here about solid food, about the beef steak, you know, about the sirloin steak of the Word of God, is to get our teeth into the major doctrine of the Word of God. If we don't know what the major doctrine of the person of Jesus Christ is, of the redemption of Jesus Christ is, we can be hooked in to any number of cults that are hooking young people on a good feeling of love and fellowship, but is really denying the person of the Lord of Jesus Christ and of his holy work. Let's not stop at the milk diet, okay? Let's grow and get our teeth into some of the real good doctrine of the Word of God. If we're not studying the Word of God in a consistent way, either by an Emmaus Bible School course, finance course, or a Moody course, or some other systematic way, either alone or in your Sunday school classroom or assembly, look for something. Begin to study the Word of God systematically. to get your teeth into some of the meat, because only if you grow and get a solid diet from the Scriptures will you discern good and evil. I believe in the home where the Lord Jesus grew up, they read the Scriptures. And Mary and Joseph read the Scriptures to the Lord Jesus as a child. And as he attended the synagogue, he studied the Scriptures, and he got himself as a young person into the Word of God. And if we study the Word of God and memorize it, how much more do we need to do that? How many of you are studying the Word of God in some systematic way? First time it's first on the Lord, raise your hand. Okay, so that's not too many, right? And if we are really Christians and growing in Him, we shouldn't be letting many years of our lives slip by without really getting into some sound Bible study. Okay, so food is important. The Lord Jesus grew strong, physically and spiritually, as he ate food that God created and as he nurtured himself in the Word of God. The next thing that helped us to grow is sleep. And you know, we in the States have become a real night culture, haven't we? You know, they have to watch the late movies, maybe, and then we're tempted to watch the late shows on TV, and a lot of people up to 2 o'clock in the morning, you know, just getting their mind and their hearts and souls of the junk that this world throws at. Electricity has changed everything. Radio, TV, and movies have really changed our whole lifestyle. And if you don't get to bed in the morning, what do you want to do what do you want to do in the morning? How many saw the sunrise this morning? Raise your hand. Hey, look at that. Okay. Remember what the CITs love. What do the CITs love?
Sleep.
Right. Leaders love the sunrise. Can't you just imagine the Lord Jesus Christ sleeping in till 9:30 in the morning? How many can remember that? How many can imagine that? He was up. It says in Psalms 5:3, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning. In the morning, O Lord, will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up. That's what Mark is telling us, you know. Listen up. Well, look up. Good. Let's get to bed at night so that we can get up in the morning. What's the first thing you say in the morning? Oh, brother, another day. I want to woke up this morning singing that song that we sang last night. What was it we sang last night? Majesty. How many woke up singing Majesty this morning? Good. There's 3 of you. How many woke up with that song, There Is a Redeemer, that played famous temple last night? Raise your hand. Oh, there's a couple of
them. Good.
Well, if you're singing the songs of the Lord at night before you go to bed, you wake up with those things ringing through your mind in the morning. Really cool. What if you stay up till 12 or 2 o'clock in the morning listening to the commercials and all the junk on TV? You're going to wake up in the morning, oh, brother, another day. Oh, drudgery. Back to the salt mine. So that's not the way the Lord wants to do. Early to bed, early to rise, wakes a man. What was the other thing? Healthy, wealthy, and wise. You know, there's no truth of poetry in that little ditty. There really is. And if you want to wake up good in the morning, go to bed early, and go to bed reading the Scriptures, and maybe reciting some of your memory verses, or praying at night. You know, I'm sure the Lord Jesus Christ didn't stay up at 2 o'clock in the morning watching television. He didn't know he didn't have television, did he? Didn't have electricity. They would have had maybe by 8:30, 9 o'clock at night. Well, sure they could get up early in the morning.
We've got to discipline ourselves to do it.
We really have to say no and turn it off, you know, and get alone with the Lord and go to bed with a sense of His presence so that we can wake up that way. What was Satan's first name? Anybody know? Lucifer, right? What does Lucifer mean? Son of the morning. You know that Satan wasn't created the prince of darkness. Martin Luther wrote, the prince of darkness grim. We tremble not at him. He's the prince of darkness, right? He's the one that wants us to sin and go astray from the Lord and do the things in the darkness. But Satan wasn't created that way. Satan was created as the cherubim heaven that covers the holiness of God and as the son of the morning. What does that mean, the son of the morning? the one that was holy to praise the Lord. That son of the morning became the prince of darkness. You know, it's wonderful that when we're saved, we're taken out of the kingdom of darkness and translated into what? Into what? The kingdom of His dear Son, and we're called the children of light. That's why when you become a Christian, you like to get up early in the morning and have a time with the Lord, right? Right? Amen. Okay. And you know, if you haven't got that far yet, it's just because you're in that early stages of the Christian life, maybe. Although some of the new Christians, some of the fresh Christians, put us, some of us older ones, ashamed, because they really have that first love for the Lord, and they really are up early with their Bible, with the Lord, and praying for other people that they might be saved. If we are leading a nightlife only to enjoy ourselves, watch the latest films and movies and all the rest of it, we are missing out on the basic nature that we've been created for. And that is to glorify God and to start off our day with Him. Let's be careful that we get proper sleep, especially as young people. One doctor has said that every hour before midnight that you sleep is worth 2 hours after midnight. If you get to bed a little earlier, you can get up a little earlier in the morning, because you've got that much rest for your body and for the mind. Okay, third thing is exercise. Growing strong has to do also with exercise. Some of you guys, it's very evident that you're lifting weights, right? Because you've got those wonderful muscles that the girls are looking for. Right, guys? But you know, that kind of exercise is not the only exercise you can do. If you can't lift weights or stuff like that, you can exercise in different ways. And you can walk, or you can run, or you can jog, or you can play ball. You can do things to exercise your body. And God wants you to do that. Physically, He wants you to have a body that He can use in His service. He wants you to have a body as much as possible exercised, good muscle tone, and a body that He can take and use for His service. And that doesn't mean we have to have perfect physique. You know, Charles Atlas, perfect key man, or Miss America. That doesn't mean that at all. God just wants us to enjoy good exercise, good fun together, so that our body as the temple of the Holy Spirit can be used to its maximum for Him. It certainly doesn't mean that if a person has a disability, he cannot be used for the Lord. But exercise in a physical sense is good, but it's only an illustration of what? Exercise unto what? Godliness, right? God really wants us to exercise ourselves unto godliness. What's one way we can exercise ourselves unto godliness? Paul said, body exercise is profitable for a little bit, for a little time, for this lifetime. But godliness is profitable for all things, for the promise of the life that now is, and what else? Of the life that is. What's one way we can exercise ourselves spiritually? Pardon? What's one spiritual exercise you could be doing every day? Worship? Spiritual. Great. Is praying a spiritual exercise? Is praying work? Is praying a discipline? Hey, you know it really is. You know, praying before God is an exercise that God wants you to be engaged in. If you haven't spent some time on your knees lately, get on your knees. Because, you know, as we're on our knees before God, as we're humble before God, and that's what the word worship really means, to bow the knee. Now, before you get down on your knees, maybe you'll have to do some deep breathing, you know? Get up in the morning, you know, up and down 15, 20, 50, 100 times. But that's good. That's good preparation. Get down on your knees and sit down. You know, there's so many proud people around in the world today. So many people that got their nose up in the air. So many people that are so proud of how they look, or, you know, how they come across to the people. Now, one thing that being on our knees produces in us is a humble attitude to God, and a realistic attitude toward ourselves. Because as you're bowed in prayer before the Lord, you realize that you are His creation, that He made you, and that your life is not your own, but that you are His. What's another spiritual exercise? Prayer, what else? Meditation, what else? Pardon?
Skipping?
Okay, that's a physical exercise. We're talking about spiritual exercise. What else, huh?
Singing.
Singing. Don't you start singing?
I'm sorry.
Okay.
Now, you know, when we sing, some of you are not exercising. You know? You're just moving your mouth.
Not just coming across the road.
Look at the extreme. It should be an exercise. When you exercise, you give it all you got.
Otherwise, you're exercising differently.
So when you sing, especially you who are counselors at Camp Live O-Live, give it all you got, because the kids are watching you. And if they see you just, you know, singing there, you know, there is a reason, and you're looking all around, you know, to see what that other girl that wrote that kind of guy. Hey, when you're singing there is a redeemer, let's hear it. There is a redeemer, all right? And pull out the spot. That's a spiritual exercise. What's another spiritual exercise? Memorizing scripture, or sort of meditating on scripture. That's an exercise. And that takes real discipline to be memorizing scripture. How many of you are memorizing scripture on a regular basis? Raise your hand. Not too many hands. Hey, we should be memorizing scripture. Thy word have I hid in my heart. Why? That I might not sin against thee. You know why so many Christians fall into sin? It's not because the devil made you do it. It's because you're not building up your resistance to temptation and to sin by memorizing the Word of God. The Lord Jesus Christ, as a young person, memorized the Word of God. When he was 13 years old, he was the son of the law, as all the Jewish boys were. And you know what the Jewish boys at the age of 13 had to be able to recite by heart? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. The five books of Moses by heart. Letter perfect by the time they were 13 years old. How about that? Does that blow your mind? Well, you know, that was their curriculum in school. And that's what the boy tried to learn. And the girl was so strong. Okay. The Lord Jesus was strong in body and spirit. And he also was filled with what? Filled with wisdom. Right? Let's go to Proverbs. What's the beginning of wisdom? Fear of the Lord. Proverbs chapter 1. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. I wonder how really wise we are. What do you think wisdom might be? Let's have a definition of wisdom. Pardon? Wisdom. Well, one definition is on the sheet, and we might say it is applied knowledge. Now, you know, this Alvin Toffler, in his book for 1980, says that we are now in the third wave. The first wave was the agricultural wave, and most men were farmers. The second wave was the industrial revolution, where most people worked in factories. The third wave is the information wave, and we are in that age today. With our computers and all the rest of it, we got knowledge coming out of our ears. But you might have lots of knowledge, you might be a walking encyclopedia, but you might be absolutely ignorant and unable to apply that knowledge to life. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You know, it's interesting in the first four chapters of Proverbs that Solomon says that we are to become wise with regard to four areas of our lives. First of all, our friends. Look at Proverbs 1 and 10. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait to shed blood. But if they're secretly for the innocent without cause, we're not to go in with them. But it'd be wise with regard to our friends. You know, your friends can influence you a lot, can't they? You got a good friend? You want to lose his or her friendship? You can be tempted to compromise your faith in the Lord because of your friend. Watch your friends. You have good friends? Are you working on having good friends? Are you willing to give up a good friend if you might think it's a good friend, if that friend is drawing you into sin? Says here, at the beginning of the Lord, the beginning of wisdom, is the fear of the Lord. Okay? The beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. And we're to watch our friend. Maybe some of you really should reconsider maintaining a friendship was a person who was making you compromise what you really believe is true as a Christian. The second thing that Paul talks, Simon talks about in chapter 2 is in verse 12. Not only about our friends, but about our sex life. And the first six chapters of Proverbs talks a lot about that. It is a problem. We have become a society obsessed with sex. Obsessed with the prostitution of the human body. And notice what Solomon says about this in chapter 2 and verse 12. To deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things. And in verse 16, to deliver you from the immoral woman, or the strange woman, from the seductress who flatters with her words. Now there's lots of evil people around us in the world, men and women. And wisdom applies the knowledge God gives us to the relationship with men and women as far as temptation to sex is concerned. Let's be wise. Let's fear the Lord. Let's realize that the eyes of the Lord indeed are in all places, beholding the evil and the good. And let's do as Job says, to make a covenant with my eyes, that we might not look and be tempted to sin in the area of sex. Because that's where real wisdom comes in our lives. The third area that Solomon talks about is in the third chapter, in verse 9, with regard to our money. What do you do with your money? Honor the Lord with your substance, your possessions, and with the first fruit of all your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. How many of you are working? You're out of school, you're working. See your hand. Okay. How many of you that are working set aside a certain percentage of your wages for the Lord? Raise your hand. That's great. Okay, that's good. You know, that has a promise, but he doesn't. Honor the Lord with your substance, with your possession. And even if you're not working, if you get an allowance or you're some babysitting, you honor the Lord. If you honor the Lord, he will honor you. Honor the Lord with what you have, your possession, your income, and the Lord will honor you. And the fourth thing is yourself. Chapter 4 and verse 23, we read, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Our friends, our sex life, our money, but the most important thing is our heart, right? Keep your heart with what? All diligence. You know that it's very important to keep a watch on your heart. Not just to go to the doctor, you know, and have your blood pressure checked and have your heart examined from time to time. We're not talking about that. We're talking about your heart. Your desire, your emotions, things you want to do. Solomon says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. What does Jeremiah say about our heart? The heart is deceitful above all things, and what? Wicked. Do you know your own heart? You know, as we begin to grow older and we begin to get exposed to temptation, sin, all the things that Satan throws us in the world, we begin to find out what our tickers really like. We begin to find out what our heart is really like. We begin to find out how selfish we are, how prideful we are. You know, the Lord wants to teach us those lessons early in life. He wants us to teach us that it is only if we give our hearts to Him and we keep our heart with all diligence that we're going to be happy later on. That's what the issues of life mean, you know? The issues of 5 miles down the road, 5 years down the road, are you going to be resenting people that you've had relationships with today? This year, you don't want to do that. Because you're going to be filling your life with all kinds of resentment and bitterness and things that you can't change. Let's be careful about doing things and establishing attitudes that we can't change later on. Okay?
The Lord wants us to grow in wisdom.
Certainly the Lord Jesus is a wise person. And wisdom applying Bible knowledge makes us able to make good choices about choosing our friends, about how we invest our money, about how we relate to the opposite sex, and especially about the things we build into our own heart. I know the Lord Jesus was wise about that. We can be sure that the Lord Jesus, as a young man, honored the Lord with what he earned in the carpenter shop. We can be sure that he was very careful in his relationship with the opposite sex. What we think of the Lord, well, the Lord didn't have any temptations about sex. No, the Lord was a man. He came into this world as a man. And he felt, it says in Hebrews, all the things that we feel. He felt all the temptations that we feel. But you know what? He was guarding his heart. He was keeping his heart in all things. And the last thing that the Lord grew in was in the grace of God. He grew in strength. He grew in wisdom. And the grace of God was on him. The basic meaning of the word grace is to show compassion and show kindness. You know, one of the basic meanings of the word grace is beauty. It's kindness. It's being able to passionately relate to other people. And the Lord Jesus wants our lives to be beautiful. Not just physically, but he wants our lives to be beautiful for him. The grace of God was upon the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to talk about that next session. But let's just think of him as the person who lived before his father. He was ever mindful of the eyes of his father were upon him. For 30 years, a young man, he lived in the presence of his father, and the eyes of the Lord were upon him, and the grace of the Lord was upon him. How about us? Can we say that the grace of God is upon us? No, the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who came into this world to bring us eternal life. Let's say that verse together in 2 Corinthians. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. You don't know that verse? Come on, let's say it again. But ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that ye through his poverty might become rich. No, God wants us to be rich in grace. Not in the things of this world, but the world. But he wants us to be rich in grace. He wants the favor of God to be upon us. He really wants us to be beautiful people in God. And you know that comes through loud and clear to people who aren't Christians. It really does. If you're a Christian, one of the first things that changes is your what? When you became a Christian, what was one of the first things that changed in your life?
Desires.
Your desires, what else? Peter? What else?
Your desires?
Pardon? Your attitude? What else?
Faith.
Your faith. Okay, what else?
Reaction.
Reaction? One thing the Lord cleans up real quick when we become saved is your language. What do you have? Your friends. Okay.
Your, especially your language, right? Especially your language.
The Lord cleans it up real quick because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth. And you know other guys at school and other girls at school and work. Hey, what happened to this guy? He's not cussing us out like he used to. He doesn't laugh at our jokes like he used to. What's the matter with this girl? You know, something's happened here.
What's happened?
Grace of God. And out of your eyes and out of your mouth begins to shine the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, you can pretty well tell a girl or a guy who's really enjoying God's Word, who's really exercising spiritual godliness in their hearts. You can just tell by looking into their eyes. You can tell by listening to them talk. But the grace of God. Can you imagine the Lord Jesus turning anybody off when he talks to them? Can you? You know, we've got a lot of films, New Campus Crusade film about the Lord Jesus, lots of films that picture the Lord Jesus as a man. And one of the things that the film industry and Christian film look for, when they look for that person to portray the Lord Jesus Christ, I think that one of the things that they look for is a person whose eyes really communicate the light and the beauty of God. Now, none of those men who play that role are the Lord Jesus, right? But as you look into their eyes, you can see that they look for somebody who is walking with the Lord. And you know, you can tell. You can tell. You can tell a person upon whom the grace of God is resting. You know, if we as Christians are not living in His Word, if we're not drinking the milk of His Word and getting our teeth into the solid things of His Word, you can tell if you're living for God or if you're living for God. And I just like to say a little word to you girls, especially. You know, girls, you don't have to dial yourselves up like all the movie stars that you see on TV or in the movies to make yourself good. You really don't. A Christian girl really doesn't have to go all the way like all these movie stars do. If you do, you might attract to yourself the wrong kind of guy, and you might be sorry later on. And guys, the same deal goes for us. We don't have to conform to all the styles of the world. If you're walking with the Lord, you're going to make a mark for God among the other guys at school or at work, because the grace of God is upon us. Now, the grace of God can really be our cosmetic. It really can. And if you will just get into fellowship with God and walking with God and getting up and having a time with Him every morning or every night or sometime during the day, it's going to become evident in your face, in your eyes, in your tongue. And the grace of God will rest. So let's watch these two areas. Let's grow and become drawn physically and spiritually. Let's become wise in the decisions that we make based on the Word of God. And let's make sure that we are keeping upon this great rest in beauty and purity and its sincerity. Let's have a word of prayer before we begin. Father, we just thank You this morning for Your Word and especially for the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. As we think of Him as a young man growing up in that awful city of Nazareth, we realize, Lord, that He was a young man upon whom the grace of God and the favor of God rested. Lord God, we just covet this for all of these young people here this morning, that early in their Christian lives, they may really make a commitment to Thee, to desire the sincere milk of the Word of God, to get their spiritual teeth into the doctrine and teachings of the Scripture, and to allow the grace of God and all of its beauty to shine out through their eyes and through their mouth and through their whole person. Lord, we just thank You for that chorus we just sang. It's tremendous meaning for us, little by little, in every way, You are changing. Changing us from children of darkness, sons of disobedience and rebellion, the children of God, the children of the light, the children of our Lord Jesus. And we just pray, Father, that You will help us to overcome the things that may be hindering us in our walk with You. We just pray that we may learn to live godly and disciplined lives, learn to say no to Satan, the prince of darkness, learn to say yes to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of Righteousness, will shine before us. We thank You for our day together. We pray You to keep us from accidents. We pray You to keep us, Lord, from maybe ill feelings that we might have one toward another, from past experiences. We just pray, Lord, that there may be healing, that there may be fellowship, and that there may, above all, be an attitude among us to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ in every way today. So we ask for His worthy name.
Amen.